Film Allies, the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So here we are. I'm in the Bay Area, overlooking the entire Bay Area, in town for Open Secret with Amakay Lagasse November 12th at 6:20 p.m. You can get tickets at coyotenetworknews.com or opensecret.com. We will be animating many of the themes and woofiness that we're about to unfurl. I will bring our splendid guest, Pat Ewing, in moments, but first a brief prologue. Yes, here we are. But it is more than perfectly and darkly, it is the Moon-Pluto conjunction right now, descending into the underworld. You want it darker. And my great ally, David Grimes, sent these useful Tolkien encouragements. I wish it need not have happened in my time, said Frodo. So do I, said Gandalf, and so do all who live to see such times. But that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given us. We go, ooh, many of us reeling, we'll play with that. And then just the last little bit, he says, so we shall need all of our friends in the days ahead. Perhaps we will get lucky, and an asteroid spare us from some drawn-out annihilation. But in the meantime, and more to the point, a song and a prayer will now accompany our rage and tears in solidarity with all the fresh and long-suffering beings, everything which creeps or crawls, swims or flies. Come now, beloveds, together we shall stumble gracefully on the dark, uncertain, shimmering path ahead. So, yes, in my Uber on the way to the airport yesterday, I was to read the Tolkien quote to great ally Aaron, and I couldn't read it without weeping. And the wonderful Indian woman driver, you know, when I got out, she was like, the vengeance, and I go, yes, we are together, we are kinned, and here's an extra $20 bill because we want to be kind to each other. Yes, we are together forever in this. Kinship is quite possible. So it is the Moon-Pluto conjunction, irresistible. Many of us, including myself, just wanted to hide with animals. And it's like, no, here we are. There's much to do, much to delve, and to explore. So you want it darker, journeying into the underworld, returning with liberating cultural hijinks. So we re-welcome wonderful, long time ally, full spectrum political strategist Pat Ewing, and some mythic companions too. Nemesis. Remember, Nemesis is not just a enemy thing. Nemesis pre-existed the patriarchal gods, and she was the fierce power of accountability. And bringing balance to unjust fortunes or unjust whatever. And there's Dark Moon Lilith, there's the Wrathful Dakina, there's Octavia Butler, whom we're going to revisit because she sort of got it more right than I thought. And as we explore the horror and redemption of our ride, gotta go dark into the underworld. Act 4. To acknowledge the danger of uninitiated Mars puer unleashed on grotesque rampage, right? It's really the parade of phallic narcissists, right? It's just, well, we'll get into that. Tyranny is compensatory weenydom and contains the seeds of its own demise. Grief and wrath dredge it all up to the surface as nutrient for liberating cultural hijinks. Welcome, Pat Ewing.
Thank you. I'm glad to always be speaking with you, and it's great to be on the show. It's a trial. It's a trial time, and finding the grief and expressing it for the direction of the country and where it may or may not, you know, where we think it's going to go. But also then turning to the action needed to continue to create the change and acknowledging the. You know, it's a time to acknowledge being and feeling like you've done it before. How many more times do we have to try to save people from themselves?
Yes. Well, I did want to revisit Octavia Butler. Hi there, Octavia, in the ancestral world. Because remember, those of you who've been hanging with me, I was so ardent about Octavia Butler's novel that she wrote in 1993, The Parable of the Sower, begins on July 21st, 2014, the full moon in Cancer Capricorn, and it's a dystopian novel with its sequel, in which there's a terrible autocrat who's going to destroy the earth, running against a pale ghost of a man. So the autocrat wins, you know, in great danger. And I'd been, you know, calling on Octavia, come in for story rewrite, and then after this debacle, going, oh, let's talk some more, Octavia. You got it right, and then the pale ghost, what I wanted to put on the table, and we'll to and fro pet, is Biden did much good. We're going to honor that. You can bring up the detail, which is important. But the pale ghost part, you know, he let us out of COVID and infrastructure bill, but Gaza on the table, huge omission, huge presence by its lack of presence, like, whoo, and that has been the pale ghost, part of that dynamic which must be addressed, the missing ritual of kinship and grief and the competent, effective action to stop the carnage now. But that could happen. That could happen now. We'll bring in some surprising kind of dynamic. Yes, and then the pale ghost, the impedimental. We have so many. The reason I wanted to bring in Nemesis, right, the power of accountability, we go, yes. And all the repercussions, wherever you wanted to go, wherever you want to go, but those house seats that are still in play, if you want to take that on, and the implications of,
sure.
If, yeah.
Well, there's a huge implication. We know we don't have the presidency. We know we don't have the Supreme Court. And we know we don't have the U.S. Senate. So what stands between us and having a national abortion ban within the first 2 months? It's the House. And the House is still up for grabs. It is leaning a little bit more Republican right now, but it's still anybody's game. And there are about 30 seats, including there's one in Maine where the Democratic incumbent is down by, up, I should say, by 1,000 votes. There is one in Oregon where the Democrat is beating the Republican incumbent right now by about 7,000 votes, and that's in the middle. So there's difference. There's even one in Iowa where a Republican could lose her seat. And she's winning right now by maybe 600 or 700 votes, and anything around that level is good to have a recount, because that could change. So there are some really good seats that we could potentially pick up and keep the House, and that is that's sort of the game right now, because there's a lot of really amazing, the folks who won on Tuesday are ready to rip up whatever they need to rip up, the legislation that Biden did or anybody, or, you know, gay marriage, they're ready to take it all on. And we don't know where they're going to start first, but it's probably going to start with mass deportations. So that sort of structure and organization is probably going to be the thing that they do want to do quickest, and will satisfy the people who voted them in.
Right, and we're gonna get to the mass deportation, the costs on every level of human grief, but also the financial costs as well. And then somebody, had put out outcomes via Twitter. Biden made banks stop surprising you with hidden charges. That's gone now. $35 insulin is gone. Medicare negotiating drug prices, gone. EPA, HHS, Department of Energy, gone. All consumer protections, gone. Department of Labor, National Hurricane Center, NOAA, National Parks, protection for pre-existing conditions on Medicare, staying on parents' insurance until 26, reproductive rights, voting rights, paid vacations and holidays, 40-hour work weeks, child labor protections, paid overtime, gone. Department of Education, student loans, Pell Grants, not yet, but Medicare, Medicaid, CHIP, Social Security, probably aid to single moms, USDA meat inspections, CDC, Miranda rights, Department of Transportation, FEMA. It goes on and on and on. Yes, so there's that. But I did want to also bring up, you know, here's our team. Somebody, an unknown person on Facebook, put this suggestion here just to animate. So for the longest time, people who listen know I've been going, let's see Joe Biden before the election, just stopping the carnage in Gaza, just doing just okay, little movement. He was moving a little bit, but no. But here's the Facebook post. Let's see Joe Biden resigning, sending Kamala to the presidency for the last 2 months, making her the 47th president. Then, while she's there, she signs an executive order and codifies Roe v. Wade and sets term limits for the Supreme Court. And she'd be able to do all of this legally, since the Supreme Court ruled a sitting president is above the law. She could conceivably order recounts and find some more votes without fear of criminality. She can change the rules for an election so that anyone with a convicted felony on their record wouldn't ever be able to run again or be sworn in for any office in the land. She could give Trump a taste of his own medicine without any repercussions whatsoever. So I think that's fun. Is that a fun image?
I think that's very fun.
So
I
let's
think
see
it's
it,
fun, and
team.
I think it's, let's see it. Let's see it. The thing that we're so focused on having improving that we can actually handle a positive and free transition of power, that we forget boundaries. And boundaries are standing up to someone who's hurting you. And in our quest, in our, in Biden and hopefully, in not Harris, but maybe in their quest to sort of normalize democracy again and go back to the way it was, they're actually allowing boundaries to be obliterated. So that's what I love about this, what you just said, because it actually sets up boundaries that we need, and we need to show these people that we're not. We're in this as a fight, and we are in it as something that we are going to contest, and that this is still our country as well. And we want to hold on to the democracy that we are fighting for. Because our democracy, the way it stands right now, it's not done. We have more people to include. We have more ways in which we want to create democracy and do it better. I'm not willing to give up on it yet. Because it still needs to improve.
No, that's right. And yes, and as I sent you the Nick Fuentes quote, we can go back over it if you just, it's just outrageous. It is a festival of uninitiated Mars, pu-erh, tantrum yoga, weenies. Tyranny
Well,
is
yeah, read it.
compensatory. Yeah, Nick Fuentes twits, your body, my choice, forever. Yeah, so the world is run by phallic narcissists, teenage boys. But at this point, I just wanted to bring up the brief, like it's a couple minutes. Trey Crowder, liberal redneck, I like him. We'll meet on the other side, all of us, and with Pat. Don't agree with all of it, but it's I find him just a useful part of the team. So here's Trey Crowder.
Well, here we go again. Look, obviously, I ain't happy about it, but you ain't gonna see me crying or whining or saying that it was unfair that anybody cheated because I'm not a goddamn baby. And unlike a lot of people, I can accept even an uncomfortable reality. But y'all did it. Y'all got what you wanted. I hope you know a lot of people are gonna die. A lot of people. Ukrainians are gonna die. Palestinians are gonna die. Women. Trans people, trans kids, immigrants, both documented and not. Poor people are going to die. A lot of people are going to die as a result of this. And not only that, but Project 2025 is fully on the table now. Our institutions have never been more threatened. The Supreme Court's going to become even further solidified as the nightmare repression tribunal it already is. RFK Jr. is going to outlaw 5G, and Dana White's going to be the goddamn Secretary of Education. But hey, at least eggs will be cheap, right? Except, oh, wait. No, they very won't, because that's not how any of this actually works. I mean, your boy's going to round up all the egg workers. Do you think that's going to help grocery prices? Come on, man. The only reason things are as expensive as they are in the first place is because Big Egg and the rest of corporate America realized that they could hike up prices and people would still be able to pay it on account of Joe Biden's economy has actually been rocking pretty hard. Jesus Christ, I hate everything. But it's not just that. It's not just the kitchen table stuff, the egg price stuff. We all know that the other inescapable, undeniable, and truly unfortunate fact of the matter here is that this country is just not going to elect a woman president. It's just not. Not anytime soon, anyway. I mean, apparently, even a man as demonstrably dim-witted and outwardly vile as Donald Trump is still preferable to even the most competent of women just because he is a man. Ain't that America? And then lastly, we also know that there's plenty of people in this country who would gladly burn democracy to the ground just as long as libs get owned in the process. And who knows? They very well may have done so. I guess we'll all find out. All we can really hope for now is that these people continue to be as fundamentally incompetent and dysfunctional as they historically have been. And as such, maybe some of their more destructive plans will not come to pass. Right? And also, you know, also if our lovely fellow Americans actually get what they voted for here, then things are going to get pretty catastrophic. And if they do, then maybe 4 years from now, this fickle, shuddering empire of ours will once again turn to a Democrat to clean up a Republican's mess, as it has so often done in the past. And that's about as positive as I can be today. But one other thing I damn sure do know is that I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to keep running my mouth till they throw me in the gulag. Right? We're all still here. This is still our country, too. They've not wrested it away from us entirely just yet. All right, keep your head up. The fight continues. Love y'all.
Yeah. So, let me toss it to Pat. Just a couple of things. So he goes, I'm not going to whine that anybody cheated. We might want to come back to explore.
Well, yeah.
Explore that, because I was saying, I don't believe it. I mean, my initial is like, I don't believe it. Elon Musk runs everything. A lot of the margins are tight. I don't believe they didn't cheat. They always accuse people. Dementors always accuse people of what they're doing. Yeah, what do you want to bring up over there? Oh, and Rachel Maddow going, remember Trump saying, you don't need to vote. I don't need the votes because we have it rigged, so I don't need votes to win. Anyway, yes, let's explore the darkness of that.
Right. Well, he said it actually a dozen times. I don't need your votes. Just don't vote. I've got this. I've got plenty of votes. I don't need your votes. Also, if you think about Elon Musk, he has control over the satellites, so many of the satellites in the sky through Starlink, that the American government, if they want to shoot another satellite up there, if they want to fix a satellite up there, they actually have to call him, because he has so many that they have to do it at a time when it's convenient to Starlink. So then number three, Montgomery County, Pennsylvania, which is one of the collar counties around Philadelphia, it's Democrat. It's become Democrat because of choice. It's vote rich for Democrats. They had 1 million cyber attacks. That county, 1 million cyber attacks. And the other one was there were 7 bomb threats in Pennsylvania. 7. Now we hear about North Carolina, we hear about Georgia, but I didn't know until after the election that there were 7. I was working the election, and I did not know there were bomb threats all around me, including the county I was in. So the fact that Joe Biden got 81 million votes and Kamala Harris got under 70, there's about 11 million votes missing. And I don't mean she would have won. What I'm talking about is the volume of 10 million, 11 million people not voting in this election just is incredible. It's incredible. So there is a lot, I think, I think it's too precious for us as, you know, as a party, even if you're not in the party, but, you know, as Democrats or as people who supported Harris, it's too precious of us to say, we can't do that because we said, you know, we beat up on Trump for calling everybody, you know, saying that he won the election and it was rigged. And so therefore we can't do that. That's like clutching your pearls. That's precious. If we see something, we should say something. And there's a lot to be seen and there's a lot to be said. And there's absolutely no reason why one county getting a million cyber attacks. How many other counties got cyber attacks like this? How many others? And, you know, the cyber attacks were from Russia and Belarus. So how do we know that Elon Musk didn't call up his friend Putin, who he talks to pretty regularly, and say, hey, help me out here. Here are the 20 counties that you need to focus on in the country. So I don't trust. She may not have won, but the fact that there's a mandate right now, that does not make sense.
Right. Yeah, a lot of the margins in the swing states are not that big. That's easy to swing. So we want to put on the table, you know, although we love Trey, but we'll get more to his points. But going finagling, gotta look. And I want to return to my kind of astro, whatever it is I do, narrative leading up to the election and doing election magic councils with yourself, and also a really great Los Angeles all-day vigil, which was pretty dark, you know, good. And it's like, And it's like I used to have a section of the show called What I Wish I'd Said Last Week. What I wish I'd paid more attention to, you know, I had said blithely going, oh, you know, there is this pattern. It's called a sesquiquadrate. It's a 135-degree angle of awareness of danger, the sun to Neptune. And I just sort of mentioned that, going, all right, we should be aware of bamboozlement and chicanery, you know, but over here is this really cool stuff. It's like, no danger on every level of bamboozlement and false glamour and the appropriation of narrative and then real sneakiness. We do want to look at that. And then just part of the narrative to entertain possibilities, believe nothing. But Saturn, which is structure, you know, and our leadership is retrograde, inward, inward, inward. So no matter what our grief, our appalledness, our reeling, our just Saturn says each person, you know, who is self-possessed sucks the chi out of authoritarianism. And for each person to plight their troth, to make their dedication to collective well-being is a powerful thing. Inward now, outward on November 15th, which is the next full moon, going, whoo. We know that Neptune, dreams, vision, and bamboozlement will station and go direct on December 7th. And just the sentence structure is reality hits, or illusion hits reality. And we go, okay, well, there's a lot still in play. And Uranus, the principle of nature's evolutionary trickster genius that insists on equality and revelation. Again, retrograde, stationing goes direct end of January. Just one way to imagine it without worrying about the language, you know, is when a planet's retrograde, it appears to be moving backwards to us. So everybody, for fun, oh, serious fun, imagine holding a bow and arrow, and in one hand we have the bow, and in the other hand we're putting the bowstring and the arrow back. And the bowstring and the arrow go, oh man, we're not making any progress at all. In fact, we're going backwards. But the bow says, no, you're really going to like this. To the extent that all of us pull in and backward in our dedication, in our desirable revelation, in our dedication to a better world, the more rapid velocity, you know, just as a powerful metaphor, like what's the target? What would we like to see? So there's that. Without expectation, but just available for play, you know, So I like that kind of guideline, but awareness of danger, and the false glamour, because you mentioned we'll go into the deportation and the thing and all the things we need to know to be effective conversationalists, and there was another thing that you'd said that I'm sure I'll hand it to you to remember what I was trying to remember that you said. wherever you want to go with that. Repercussions, AOC, accountability. Well, accountability is good for us to imagine.
Right. There are boundaries. There is accountability. But a friend of mine, I want to mention this right now. A friend of mine texted me the day after, and she basically said, this is great. This is exactly what we needed. We now know in our face where all the darkness lies. Everything that has been hidden is now revealed. Now it's our turn. Now it's our turn to really clean up. And I absolutely appreciated it then, but I'm appreciating it more on a deeper level, mainly because I was sort of reeling from what happened on election night. And I hope to be able to get to the enthusiasm that she has, but I think it's a great goal. It's a great, great goal because we do know, and as you were talking before, if we're looking at the, you know, because part of the goal for you wanted to talk about was the underworld itself, because the underworld is now illuminated. We can actually see what's in there. We now know what it is when you have billionaires who choose to be trillionaires, and that's their entire goal. We now know what it takes to take over a government and to crush a democracy. We're actually watching it in real time. This entire election is about Trump, Bezos, Elon Musk, Putin. It's about 5 to 10 people that just chose to, over time, and wasn't immediate, but chose to take a path that serves them so directly. And even if you look at Bezos' quote about Trump, he says, oh, Mr. President, this is so terrific that you won. Congratulations. We are now going to be able to get back to the love of our country that we all hold. I love this country and we love this country, and you're going to bring peace and bring us all back together. Jeff Bezos tweeted that.
Yeah.
Oh, and we also didn't talk about Elon Musk owning Twitter and how that was used potentially in conjunction with Putin and Belarus and other bad actors to either disenfranchise voters or, in addition, just spend a ton of money to make sure some people didn't vote and others issues were obscured. So they spit out a lot of negativity. But
right. Well,
go ahead.
No, no, I was just going
to
say,
the sort of positive vision.
You go. Positive vision.
We go back to the, I know we both have so much to say today. To go back to the positive vision and to realize that I think what I have realized, even though I've worked the way I've worked in Democratic politics all my career isn't to make big, broad change. My whole goal is to make small changes in a path for greater inclusion. So who's in the democracy? Who's not in the democracy? How do I get them? And the path hasn't been straight. Sometimes the path is broken. But I feel like my goal has always been to just help make those steps, because the stronger, the more people included in the democracy, the stronger the democracy is. Once you start excluding people and choosing people, that's when it gets crushed. So that's been sort of my life goal, to help figure that out. So when a group of people, well-moneyed and with ill intention, decides to take that away from all of us that we've had and our parents have had, and our, you know, this move towards increased democracy, it's really, really painful. But it also makes me understand again that democracies are not free. Freedom is not free. There is a high cost. There is a very high cost. And that could be having to protest. That could be having to write letters. That could be, you know, somebody who puts their own career on the line by saying the truth about Donald Trump. There's a lot of very scared Republicans right now who wonder if they're on an enemies list. And I wonder if they are calling Joe Biden to try to get a preemptive pardon, which is actually what I would be thinking about. I was thinking about, I wonder who's on the list for Joe Biden's pardons. So,
yes. Don't keep going. Never mind my.
No, go say you go. I would love to hear what you have to say about that.
Well, there's much. We're approaching our mid break point where we have a really dark song, because it's you want it darker, you know. And then, you know, everything exposed. I wanted just to say a brief public service announcement about phallic narcissism. So years ago, I asked my wonderful ally, Jungian analyst, Barbara Goodrich-Dunn, now an ancestor. Hi there, Barbara. What's phallic narcissism? And she said, it's when, you know, the man does not fulfill his wife, the mother of his children, and so she turns her sons into little gentlemen, and they grow up with a deep resentment and hatred and need to conquer women. You know, and I go, oh, well, the world is run by phallic narcissists. And she goes, yeah. And there is this rampage. We're going to come up on the other side of it, but everything is being pulled up, and we're participating in that in a good way. Ellie Painted Crow, great ally, hi there, was also on that point, like, Americans won't, it's the misogyny, the won't vote for a woman, won't vote for a mixed race woman. I think that's not true forever, but it's on our compost, and we're gonna come up on the other side of this with Pat Ewing after this song that just comes to mind. You Want It Darker. Here's Leonard Cohen. Okay, that's Leonard Cohen, You Want It Darker, which has got, a million candles burning for the help that never came. You Want It Darker, We Kill the Flame. It's very powerful. Not all of it, and our guest today, this Vision Actress Show, and Caroline Casey, You Want It Darker, our wonderful ally, longtime full-spectrum political strategist, Pat Ewing, here we are. Ooh. So, darker, in keeping with your friend, who texted you going, and you've often said this before, Pat, how fortunate that politicians are so befoibled, they're not perfect. It's our task, and we thank the horribleness for revealing itself so much. It's all, We Kill the Flame, Permission to Murder and to Maim, right, the mob thing. And then back to your point, the NPR report, and also Trey Crowder, the a lot of people who are going to die in the Ukraine, like, oh, the Ukraine, oh my God, and in Palestine. And what was the NPR quote from Palestine that you had, Pat?
Well, yeah, a reporter was talking to Palestinians in Palestine and she said, what do you think about Trump? What do you think about him being elected? And the comment was, well, we'll just die faster. So yeah. I just, you know, it's in America, we think American politics think, well, Jill Stein or so-and-so, they're going to get us up. And in Palestine, it's an understanding that Joe Biden is not the best, did not do right by Palestinians. He did not. And he should have stood up to Bibi Netanyahu. Absolutely. And it's carnage. But who can you actually talk to? Who would you actually be able to have a communication with and try to change? It's not Trump. It's not going to be Trump. It only would have been Kamala Harris. So now they realize that, well, maybe if I'm going to die, maybe faster is better.
When what?
Now,
who
I want
is
to
the...
say one quick thing. Go ahead. It was on NPR.
No, yeah, it was on NPR. I mean, you say one quick thing. We have a little delay. Don't mean to run over you. So what is the one quick thing? And then I want to just come back to something.
Well, I do. I want to add, and I was thinking about this during the song, democracy is meant to constrain power. It is meant to. The entire goal of it is to make sure that power doesn't stay at the top, that it presses down into a community, and that it's shared as much as it can. It's like rain coming down. Does it come down if it's raining onto a desert, and does it come down in desert and just flood everybody out? Or does it come down and create beauty and food and what we need to live and nourish us? And that is what democracy tries to do. It's a shared power with everyone, and it is meant to constrain power. Because if you don't, what you have now, by taking away democratic principles in some of our democracy already, which I believe we are not moving towards a fascist government. We are in the middle of it. We're actually in stage. There's like 8 stages, and we're in stage 4. So we're actually in the middle of becoming a fascist government. And that means centralization of power, so that others have it and others don't.
It's global.
And so that's why people like Elon Musk don't want democracy. So saying to them, if you're going to say to someone like Elon Musk or Donald Trump or Jeff Bezos, you're hurting democracy, they're like, yeah, that's my point.
Yeah.
That's my goal.
We want to go many places with that, because it's a global tyranny thing everywhere. Yeah. And accountability, we're calling in Nemesis and the wrathful Dakinis, you know, and we will go also to the real cost of the horrible plan of deporting, you know, undocumented and documented workers. We're going to get to that right next. But after this, which is Netanyahu just fired. Oh, everybody in the audience will know more than me that the name of the person, you know, one of his, you know, top cabinet members, you know, because that particular person was like, stop the war in Gaza now, Bibi, stop the war in Gaza now, so that we can get into investigating the security lapses on October 7th. And Bibi's like, absolutely not, because we know that's another accountability issue, you know, that Trump's running this, or whatever he's doing, to stay out of prison, and Bibi too. And the security lapses were extreme, you know, on October 7th. Again, the complicity of tyranny and its addiction to having an enemy. We know the Israeli government, you know, dragged the blind sheikh out of prison and funded Hamas at the get-go with the Islamic Brotherhood. But Bibi was funding Hamas until the spring of last year, of 2023, and bragging about it, that it will keep the Palestinians from this silly peace state solution. It'll keep them divided. There's that. We know that the most heavily guarded border in the world, the Gaza-Israeli border, all the soldiers were pulled away from there. you know, right before October 7th and moved to the West Bank to do nefarious terribleness. The internal government of Israel was like, this music festival, it's a security risk. It's right on the border with Gaza. And B was like, we like that. No. And in fact, I'm going to ask them to extend the festival another day. So that's a whole huge thing, right? But the guy that he just fired is, you know, we got to explore this accountability. And we go, right. And now something that we were both bringing up too, which an important thing. And there's I'll also on the Visionary Activist Show Patreon be putting a lot of outtakes or links that we didn't that we reference or didn't get to because there's so much this week. So yeah, the mass deportation economic cost, right? Do you want to dive into that? I have notes somewhere. Yeah, well, let's do it.
Yeah, so good to have notes. Mass deportation, again, is going to be one of the first things they try. And it is the cost to the economy. I'm going to start with that. It's going to be incredibly severe. If you like to eat vegetables, you don't want mass deportation. If you're the amount of money, I think it's $64 billion has been invested in Social Security by migrants, $64 billion. They actually pay Social Security. They just can't get it. So the crush of the economy. Number two, you saw how well, and that's a little sarcasm, Trump did on the separation of families at the border when he tried to control the border, right? It was horrible.
Yeah.
So can
horrible,
you imagine
evil.
Mass? It was evil. And can you imagine mass deportations, what that's going to be like? If you are, they're not going to care if you have an American passport. They're not going to care if you're a citizen. You're just going to be gone. Because what will happen is they're going to want to round people up and they're not going to care who it is. So they'll take houses at a time, blocks at a time, throw them over the border and let Mexico figure it out. And that's what is the goal. They want to create chaos and pain and fear in a community that voted for Trump.
Yes.
And
Steve Bannon and Trump years ago, you know, were saying, you know, what we want is to create complete, you know, economic breakdown, collapse, destroy the government, riots in the street, because that will bring America back to when it was great, when it was all. Yeah. So Elon Musk, I mean, they bluster about these things. They Nick Fuentes says the, you know, your body is my body out loud, you know. Elon Musk says, well, we want to collapse the economy. It'll be painful for most people, but it'll be good, you know, because it will ensure. Yeah. And also for all of us to be effective, like nobody minds being asked, did you know, unless we ask it in a snarky way, did you know that mass deportation, the economic consequences, as well as the moral trauma, you know, there's 13.3 million undocumented. The woman, I will post the link, you know, said, you know, ICE would spend $7 billion a year to deport, detaining, build massive tent structures on the border. A dark note was that, you know, companies that build prisons and build concentration camp facilities, you know, their stocks were up. Right. I think I told you just everything, too, on the plane. My seatmate was talking on her phone before takeoff and saying, no, the election's really pretty good. It'll be great for business. And I just involuntarily barked like, bah, bah. Right. So one single flight per person is $17,000 to deport. $350 billion is just the cost to deport without my notes are scribbled here. It's going to be $967.5 billion deficit in the economy, mass trauma, family separation, which is really, I don't use the word evil often, but separating babies and children from their parents, and some of them are still separated. That's evil. You know, there's much. The carnage in Gaza, that's evil. Good for biz. Well, that's where we were talking, Pat, too, about the lower levels of hell, where nothing is enough. It's like my friend Josh Barron went to work at Microsoft. He said, I wanted to see the Tibetan lower levels of hell where, nothing is enough. And that's what you're talking about with Bezos and Elon Musk and any of the pu'ers, the uninitiated boy phallic narcissists. You know, nothing's enough, really. So, the mass deportation, destroy the economy. And then you were calling for, you know, we're going to need to be on the streets. Yeah. Whoops, are you there? Uh-oh, did Pat go away? Maybe. Maybe Pat went away. But we'll find her back. Yes, so Pat was calling for, you know, well, one of the things, you know, when we talk about things that would be hard, some things are harder not to. And when we get Pat back, she's talking about paying attention. Can't take your eyes off of these guys for a second. These guys and the women who support them, the, you know, fathers, daughters. Because up to chicanery, absolutely. So the intention to destroy the economy, paying attention.
Hey, I'm back.
You're back. Okay, I was saying your point. I don't know what happened to you. Well, the demons are nefarious and everywhere. But I was just inexpertly saying. And Pat has a rousing call to present to us about hitting the streets, and then you went away. And I go, and Pat wants to tell us how.
I did it too. It was rousing. We're strategic mass action is going to be necessary to contain Trump,
yes.
Because basically. Yep. We need to do it for 2 years. And the reason is because we will win the midterm elections. But we need to make sure that we're voting in the midterm elections. And that's what we have to make sure happens, that we are still able to vote. So we've got 2 years to push back on Trump's administration. And he does react to demonstrations, and he does react and does change his mind, but it has to be immediate, and it has to be real, and it has to be big. And this is what is now on us to do, not just to be a democratic society. That's what that's what is being asked of us, is to have mass actions, to stand up to deportation, to work with the Catholic Church, who is against mass deportation, to work with the Chamber of Commerce, to work with business groups who understand what this is going to do for the economy. That's what's going to have to happen now. And it isn't a mass action for the sake of, and my cat is agreeing. It isn't.
That's right.
A mass
no, we're doing it for cats.
Yes, we're doing it for cats. It isn't a mass action for our anger or our pissed offness or our fear. It's strategy. It is complete strategy. Yeah, she is agreeing.
No, she's agreeing. We're doing it for you, Kitty.
She wants to be part of a mass action. Yes.
Yeah. Yes, cats, you know, felines, not felons, is the sign still in my yard. I'm keeping it up, as well as a tidal wave of cats. And then let me just go back to what we have available to us. Everybody, believe nothing, entertain possibilities. So we are convening now with the Moon-Pluto conjunction in Capricorn. Go darker, go deep, dredge up all the invisible poison to the surface. But I like Daniel Jamario's reminding us that the earliest image for the moon in Capricorn is the Council of Wise Women and the men who love them, dedicated to the next seven generations. And we go, yes, that's what we all are right now. We are the council of mature, dedicated to collective well-being people gathering with different skills, different opinions, but we are here now. And that's the value of invisible radio, that it's part of what we're doing now. And it's true Halloween, right? It is the exact mid-season. And there's just this beautiful pattern. Let me just say it and let it wash over you. The sun at 15 Scorpio, one of the four gates of power, where power is especially eager to be invited in. And from the Sangomas of South Africa, we know power, muti, power is medicine. Power is that which heals. True power is that which heals. And we don't source it. We invite it by our dedicated hearts and our language and our gathering and our community radio. And the toxic mimic of that is control. And we go, no. So the sun in Scorpio, 15 Scorpio, true Halloween, has a quintile 72-degree angle, to the Moon-Pluto conjunction. So it's a description of like, oh, dark, dark grief, despair, anger, wrath, all of these, all disbelief. Like, and I still don't believe it. And also believe it. Like, we got to deal with it. But the quintile is irresistible eloquence to everybody here on behalf of what's really going on. Pay attention. Did you know? Did you know how much this would cost? Did you know how much this would cost in human suffering? Do you know how many people, you know, are scheduled to die because of this? Do you know? That's important. And then, as Sylvia Hanley always reminds me, the quintile is the capacity to open portals between worlds. So we go, nature, come on in. All the critters. We're voting for everybody, and that's why, you know, in this time of great despair, you went to spend time by a lake. I had to go to the river. I now am sort of overlooking the Bay Area briefly. Just hello, everybody, because I'm Michaela Gaston, and I will be amplifying all of these themes on November 12th. It's the very last show of Open Secret before they close. So there's that. You can find reservations for that thing. November 12th at 6:20 p.m. because the image rising is, you know, a woman gives rousing speech on behalf of the earth. It's like, this is it. Life on earth, all the critters, anything that everybody loves, the cats, your kitty, you know, to plight our troth that we be cultural agents on behalf of what we love and what we are in nature. It's like, you know, it's the saying, and you know, I love the spiritual teaching of the South. We ain't play acting now, children. It's like, who brought what, you know? And you were saying, yeah, hit the streets, all kinds of stuff. And yes, you know, Trump wants to shoot people in the knees, but he's not in power yet. And we could have Kamala Harris be president for 2 months. I want to just go, just see that, just see that. That could be a liberating cultural hijink. Joe, you didn't do the Gaza thing. You could do this cool thing. You did it before. That would be great. And you and Kamala could have a huge grief ritual moving into competent compassion implemented. They started off their term together with a huge grief ritual that was powerful. So those are things I'd like to see.
Well, I want to add something to that.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, I want to add something to that because he doesn't have to resign for her to do that. He just has to. He doesn't, because basically they could work together to create whatever needs to be created. I have never seen a president help a vice president so directly in their run for president. Joe Biden put aside his own ego and really supported her to be, he put her name in press releases. And having worked for a president, the president I worked for would never have done that for the vice president. Obama didn't do it for Biden. Clinton didn't do it for Gore. So I think if those were issues and ideas that we could get to them and they would understand, they would figure out a way to get it done. If it needed to be under her name because she could run in 2028 and that's what she wants to do, he would do it for her. It might be him doing it, signing it, but she could get the credit for it. So there's two different pieces to politics, getting the credit and doing the job. And those are separate things. So she could get the credit and he could do the work and you wouldn't have to have the consternation of him leaving. Because that would be considered a constitutional crisis, and Trump would be all over it, and he'd try to get in the White House early. So I think that would be mass confusion. That would be mass confusion. So,
okay.
So I think if you want to see it, you just want to see it have happen.
Okay. All right, we have, I like the, yeah, that's a good reminder to all of us to experiment with. The last question we ask is how. The main question now is what. And what are each one of us dedicated to, and personally and collectively? And that's that whatever we're dedicated to is eager to incarnate into actuality, into sensual actuality on November 15th, what the hell, on the full moon Taurus Scorpio.
And well, here's something to add to that, which you and I have spoken to, but I want to add it into this context, which is, every one of these people who now believe they have their own fingers on the nuclear button, Elon Musk is the one who wants them to code, you know, that kind of thing. Every one of these people have lived their lives hurting other people. And now all of a sudden, individually, right? Individually within their own companies, within their own world. Now they're all going to be in the same room.
Oh, great.
These vicious people are going to be in the same room together. And so
yes.
whatever we can do, and I have, you can create pressure around people so that they are acting truly themselves. And by doing that, and even whether it's mass actions, whether it's social media, whatever it is to create pressure on them to behave badly, they will start hurting each other. So if you think of the White House now, when that they're in, it's going to be a crucible. It's a crucible. And that amount of ego, that amount of viciousness, all in the same place, is they are not going to cooperate. Do you think RFK Jr. knows how to cooperate with someone else? No. Elon Musk cooperates? No.
Right. No, I'm jumping back in just for a second here, because that's, you reminded me that that is the I Ching that says the darkest of black magic is where you put five venomous creatures in a jar until one of them kills and eats the others. Right. And we were talking about this going, yeah, Vance and RFK Jr. No. Vance and Trump. Elon Musk and Bezos, you know, just no. Well put. They've made lives of hurting other people or betraying everything possibly good in themselves. That's the RFK thing. But yeah, now they're put together. We go, ooh, yes, tyranny
well,
containing the seeds.
And we can put pressure on them. Yeah, we can put pressure on them through our activities so they can act badly towards each other. Okay.
Yeah, we got
it. We're not forcing them to do it. We're just giving them the opportunity to do that. And I want to add, I want to add something too about even the way we see some of these people versus how social media, which really where this campaign was won and lost. Kamala Harris won and lost this campaign on social media, not on TV ads. Just she didn't. And social media thinks that J.D. Vance is a rock star.
Right.
So we have a very different idea about who these people are and who is controlling our social media and the kind of information we're getting and who we're actually listening to.
Okay, we're in our last minute. We're in our last minute. I just wanted to, yes, you're directing us to social media and how J.D. Vance looks like a dweeb, but he's a superstar. You made this really great suggestion. Plan B has a 4-year shelf life, right? So you're telling people.
Well, I have two daughters, and I talked to them today about getting a 4-year supply of Plan B, that we're going to go out and do that because it has a 4-year shelf life. We'll have a new president.
Yes. Yes. No, that's right. No, control of women's bodies, all of those things. Thank you so much, Patricia Ewing. And you're right. We have enough for many more shows that we will brew together. And Anna Kaligasa and I will be exploring and animating these themes on November 12th, the last show at Open Secrets, the Open Secret finale. You can get tickets, coyotenetworknews.com or Open Secret. And thanks always so much, Kirsten Thomas, and thank you, Pat, forever. Woof, 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 woof. Oh, yeah,